Thanks so much for joining us online today. We're always encouraged to hear stories of how lives are being changed by the message of grace all around the world from what we do right here in Longwood, Florida. So if you have a story you'd like to share with us, please send it to stories@graceorlando.com. If you'd like to support the mission and the ministry of Grace Church, you can give conveniently online at graceorlando.com. Thanks so much again for joining us today.
First of all, good morning. Good to see all of you. I wanted to comment on last week because there was a question that was brought up that I applaud, and we kind of closed out near the end debating that question. So for those who weren't with us last week or those joining us by video who haven't seen last week, one of the premises that we looked at last week was an opportunity to be aware of where we're at. And more importantly, come into awareness that if I'm in a place of weakness and uncertainty, then I'm going to see things differently than if I'm in a place of certainty, peace, confidence, right? And we all agreed, yes. And the invitation was to consider, are there some areas of your life? And usually when evaluating life, we look at major categories like spiritual, relational, personal health, finance, career, purpose. Those, you know, there's different ways that those get addressed, but they're those large categories, right? So the question was, in those categories, can anyone think of an area that you're currently maybe at a, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being amazing, 1 being really weak and uncertain and not solid? Can anyone think of an area where you're, say, at a 7, 8, 9, even a 10? And there were heads nodding. There was areas that people could think of. It was fun. I noticed some people having trouble accepting 9 or 10, which just is something to consider for a whole nother class. If you don't ever give yourself a 10, that would be unfortunate because it means you're living a life of perfectionism, and you can be at a 10, today and not tomorrow. It's okay, but just that awareness. Anyway, just reviewing real quick. Then we said, okay, you've got that place. So maybe right now you're feeling in relationship. You're feeling like you're present with the people that you're in relationship with. You enjoy being with them. You give your whole heart. You're courageous and being open and intimate, and you're receiving love and sharing love, and you just feel rock solid in relationship. You're really thankful for that place, but maybe... okay, so that's an area. So from there, is hope abounding? Are you in a position where you could imagine going from a 7 or 8 to a 9, where you could press in even more? You know, that to believe in what God has in store for you relationally with other people. And the idea was, yes, if I'm sitting in a place like that, it's easier for me to imagine that. But then we said, what about an area of your life where you're maybe at a 3? And asked if there was any, if you could relate, if there's an area of your life where you're a 3. You know, it may be the same thing relationally. You're rocking at work, or physically you're doing great with an exercise routine and your food intake. You feel phenomenal, but just relationally, you just are in strife and don't know how to fix it and don't even know what you don't know. And it's depressing. And at that 3 level, all of a sudden, it's hard to have hope. If anything, the moment you realize you're at a 3, you dip to a 2.45, right? And it starts to spiral, and you start going, what is it? Either it's my parents' fault that they didn't teach me how to, you know, I wasn't loved right, or the other person that you're in relationship with, transfer the blame to them, and you become victimized and whatever. All these lies start to reach up with their tentacles and pull, and these lofty speculations, as it's referred to in Scripture, start to take root. They're always being thrown. The enemy's always deceiving and always lying. But at a 3, I would suggest, or I suggested last week, that we're more susceptible to them. Okay, that was review and set up for the question that came up, which was phenomenal, which is, okay, but if what you're suggesting, and it was a safe and intimate and honest question, it feels like you're suggesting, David, that we measure where we're at all the time, linearly. Am I at a 3, a 4, a 5, a 6? And if I'm at a 3, what do I do to get to a 4 or get to a 5 and just move the dial a little? And the question was, doesn't that have us focusing on ourselves instead of on Christ? And the answer is absolutely it could. And I've made a joke about, you know, there are things you can misuse or use properly, but it doesn't change the heart of the question, which is, isn't that dangerous? Yes. Yes, it is. It's something to be cautious about, because in my journey post being introduced to and saying yes to Jesus, there were all kinds of well-intended approaches to relationship with God and exegeting of the scripture and understanding the Bible that pointed me to look at me and my behavior. And if you elevate sin, sin abounds. I didn't say it. The word says it. God says, if you elevate Jesus, grace abounds. Elevate sin, sin abounds. 1 Corinthians 15, 57, 58, 59, it says, oh death, where's your sting? And then it goes on, so it's quoting David from the Old Testament. Then it goes on to say, the sting of death is sin, but the power of sin is the law. So focus on the law, focus on measurement. And all of a sudden, you're focusing on the very thing that gives the very power to sin. So I've often shared it in here. I think of that scripture in this perspective. The sting of death is sin. So I think of it like a scorpion. The sting of the scorpion is sin. But the power of that sin, the poison itself, is the law getting in you and having you turn from the eternal, holy tree of life God, the other than God, the unlimited possibilities God, and turning to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, where the law becomes me taking control of my righteousness instead of Christ having paid it all for my righteousness. I am righteous because he is righteous, right? I am holy because he is holy. So picking up from there, the awareness that it's worth being sensitive to over-focusing, it was simply a suggestion to be aware, and there are plenty of invitations throughout Scripture that talk about we can either be renewed in our mind and take thoughts captive so that we can be renewed in our mind to be in alignment with truth, therefore, or not. So the invitation to use a scale of 1 to 10 in that example is simply a chance to take thoughts captive that aren't in alignment with this truth. So for a moment, if I'm at a level 3, I'm believing things that aren't in alignment with this truth. It's simply an opportunity for me to go, wait a minute, I'm not feeling some of the scriptures we're going to look at today. And it's a chance to go, hold on, am I currently receiving his love? Am I currently standing on truth? Or have I, unbeknownst to me, found myself inched and slipped and moved by the world to where all of a sudden I'm standing on slippery ground, sloppy ground, earth-based, devil deceiving ground, as opposed to solid foundation on the truth of the good news of the gospel? Yes, hold on one sec, so that others can hear you. Thank you.
In order to understand what you're saying, I want to restate this, how I believe that the Lord has shown me that we've all been given all spiritual blessings in heaven. So spiritually, we're at tens all the time in every area of our life. The more, like the scripture says, you should ask for revelation and knowledge of Christ Jesus, because the more your identity is in Christ Jesus, those areas that appear to be in the natural threes and 2.45s and Amen. Fours get elevated up, because by focusing on him, you're supernaturally released from the draw of sin and the law, because grace is above the law.
Absolutely. And yes, perfect. And the scripture came to mind when you said that. in 2 Corinthians 3:17, where it goes on and says, we, after it says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Where there's liberty, when you turn to the Lord, when you turn to the reality that I'm a 10, when you flip this whole thing from a law-based measurement system, as was your question last week, when you, rightly so, when you turn from that, turn to the Lord, the Spirit comes, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, and then we look as if in a mirror. So a mirror shows me who. We look at God as if in a mirror to see ourselves and move from glory to glory. So I'm a 10. I look in the mirror.
It's like the same side or both sides of the same coin. It's a subtle difference. Are you going to focus on above, or on the other side are you going to focus on below?
Yes. So now we'll move to today and to the scriptures, because one of the scriptures we'll be addressing is that very aligns with what you're sharing. So the Yes. Spirit knows spirit. And so I just, my point was, I was really thankful for the question, and we ran out of time. And I love the sensitivity. I love that in us, as we soak in soak isn't even the right word, as we continue to be overwhelmed, renewed, but also overwhelmed at how great He is, His love for us, grace, then the sensitivity rises up to say, oh no, return to sender, baby. I do not want anything that's going to get me out of this good place. Anything that's going to all of a sudden have me looking at me, because I know what I'll come up with if I look from the outside in, but the eternal versus the temporal is a different story. And so, anyway, that's fantastic. Now, at the same time, why does He say, take every thought captive so that our mind can be renewed? And why does He encourage us to be real with one another and even speak of anger? So that's where we're going to start today. I believe the Spirit led me just to share the possibility, so that I'm not changing Scripture, but just open your mind to, is anger a desirable emotion in general?
No.
And we're not necessarily encouraged to, in your following Christ and in your enjoying life, both here and ever after, include anger into the fabric of your being.
Unless it's a righteous
anger. And even then, it's not highly elevated as something to sow into the fabric of your being. But are there other emotions that are also not probably in alignment with His best from what you know? Give me one other. Sadness. Anxiety. Sadness I have to think about, because there are seasons for sadness. But you're right. It's still not who we are. No. It's not the fabric. So.
Joy. Greed.
So greed. Perfect. Thank you. So when we get to where you hear the word anger, I don't want to change, not one dot, not one iota, one tittle of the word. Just for exploration, let's consider that it's not just about anger, because what I've seen is this scripture then taken to be a teaching on anger. And I believe instead it's on emotion that is not in alignment with His best, and that if we don't get it out, we keep it in. And if we keep it in, it opens the door to the enemy, which the scripture's about to say. No question, but we can only cover so much on one Sunday. The point was, and everything we ever do, at least where I'm involved until the Lord changes it otherwise, everything that we ever talk about that's good is a turning from the truth that was just shared. And everything that is less than His best for us, the root will be condemnation. End of story. There is now no condemnation in Christ. Romans 8:1. The Spirit of life set us free from the spirit of sin and death. Everything I'm admitting to you, I admit everything's a nail for this hammer. You know, once you have a hammer, everything looks like a nail. For me, so far in the last few years, being rocked by grace and then continuing to saturate it, everything that is less than that comes that in my life, if I follow the root, it will come to some form of condemnation and the fear that comes out of condemnation that I'm trying to avoid. Unbeknownst, not even realizing that it's already been dealt as long as once I know, and that's why it's opening the door. Was there a question?
No.
Okay, I thought you I didn't want to move on and not, it's okay. So let's go to the scripture because it's going to uncover. You'll see what I mean. Hiding, the enemy has lost his grip on every one of us that have said yes to Christ. He has no power, no authority. Sometimes people say the devil made me do it. He can't read your mind. He's not all powerful, okay? But he can matrix all kinds of human realities. When I say matrix, spin his webs, and statistically, he's dealt with the depravity of flesh and man since the creation of man. So while he can't guarantee what Vanessa's going to do in the next 3 minutes, he can consider all that's going on in her life and have all, you know, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. So he's constantly got a whole matrix of demonic forces out there trying to trip her up, trying to ensnare her in the web. So if there's relational stuff or this and that, whatever, he can take a shot that she'll probably hear something, see something, respond in such a way if he can get her to trigger and then get her to not like it and hide it. Now he's got a little inroad and he can water that seed and get it to turn into something it was never intended to, right? So Ephesians 4, I'm going to read a little ways, stop, we'll start again. This is Ephesians 4:17. It says, "So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk." By the way, thank you, Holy Spirit. He just encouraged me to pause and remind this for all of us. And I'll even use this as an opening prayer also, Daddy. Thank you. Very simply, Paul is writing this, and Paul opens virtually, if not every book that he wrote and every letter, book, however you want to look at it, with grace and peace to you. So thank you, Daddy. We receive that right now, and we go forward on all that we're going to explore together today, knowing that grace and peace is ours. It's who you are. It's what we have. You, Jesus, said that you came that we would have peace. And so thank you for that. And peace, I love the definition in the Hebrew, nothing missing, nothing broken. So thank you that each one of us right now can pause for a second and realize in our life, no matter how it feels, no matter how it looks, there's absolutely nothing missing and there's nothing broken. My bank account may not look the way I want. My relationships may not look the way they want. In the natural, it may look a certain way, but the peace comes from knowing I'm in his hands. He's got me. He's working all things together for good, and we'll keep going. So thank you for that, Daddy. So we're reading from someone who first reminded us grace and peace is ours. And he blessed us with grace and peace as he opens the letter. So he says, "So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer as the Gentiles also walk." Now, please don't see the long, crooked religious finger. Religion's not bad.
Legalistic.
The man's religion. Don't hear the long crooked finger saying, "See, so don't you be like those Gentiles. Don't you, you now need to live right." That's not the point. He's saying it. Don't walk as they walk, as a victim, as a slave. You've been set free. The spirit of life has set you free from the spirit of sin and death. Being darkened by the understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. What does ignorance mean? Does it mean you're stupid? Okay, that's the definition I always understood. It's actually not correct.
Uninformed,
not knowing, but thank you, because the truth is we all hear ignorant, and it's been used in our culture as stupid. And there is a difference, okay? I still don't like it when my wife tells me I'm ignorant, but So they just don't know what they don't know. But he's saying, don't walk around like that. You do know. You do know. So be Don't exclude yourself through ignorance. And ignorance that is in them because of the hardness of their heart. Again, we're headed to a place this morning that will reveal. We've already started talking about it. If I'm in a low place and afraid to even admit it, a 3 versus an 8. And I'm hiding certain emotions and I'm not even willing to admit that I'm at a 3 and taking a holier than thou. On the one hand, we wanted to protect from over measuring, but there's also a danger to being holier than thou than saying, I don't need to measure. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Okay, but if you feel like poop, if you're depressed, righteousness doesn't breed depression. Okay, righteousness does not breed depression. You are righteous, but if you're feeling depressed, don't hide it and go, I'm righteous. I'm righteous. Say, I don't know what's going on. I don't feel good. You're not ignorant. You know he loves you. You know he wants intimacy. Don't do like the Gentiles do. Don't do like the unbelievers and let your heart get hardened in that area. And they having become callous. Anybody have calluses? Okay, what does it do? It prevents you from feeling pain. So is a callous good or bad? In this case, he's saying their hearts have become calloused. Therefore, I'm able to muster onward, Christian soldier, even though I'm dying inside, but I've calloused myself to it, not what he's encouraging. Having given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity and greediness. Again, the crooked finger says, don't be greedy, don't be impure, and misses the point. The point here is, when you're hurting, you're designed not to hurt. He made you to thrive and to live with peace and joy. And so, the flesh seeks it. And so, sensuality and these things that he's referring to, they're the lesser than, they're the counterfeit. It's not like, listen, sensuality with my wife and I is phenomenal, okay? Sorry, R-rated, admitting it. It's not even R, I could go there, but PG-13, we'll say that. It's not wrong. It's back comes the ignorance. So the point, again, is just, and this isn't where we are today, so we'll keep moving. The point is, it's just seeing how the enemy will seek to give you some counterfeit and get you to learn to believe that it's gratifying. So does anyone know anyone that you've watched destroy their life with substances to try and fill the need for joy? Okay, my father is an alcoholic and drug addict, recovered, and went through just his whole life was a life of attempting to, and he was calloused, mask his pain, and then his heart became hardened and calloused, and he knew God. He's told me of conversations he had walking in the woods where he literally crying with God said, I'm not willing to let go of this, and assumed that therefore God hated him for certain aspects and choices in his life. But he was saying, I'm not willing to let them go. So he didn't even turn around to find out God was still following him. I'm here with you. I don't care. I don't need you to let them go. I need you to just admit, say yes to my love, and we'll do it together. But instead, calloused, he went on with the sensualities and purities and counterfeits, if you will. But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, just as truth was in Jesus. Anyone think of truth when you think of Jesus? All of a sudden, no problem for us to go, yes, truth was in Jesus. But it said, just as truth was in Jesus, that truth is in you. So that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with lusts of deceit. What I love about that word lay aside, he didn't say I have to chisel it away. He didn't say that it's some, mighty work that has to be done. Literally, it's an old self. 2 Corinthians 5:17, I think, yes. We used to look at Jesus in the flesh as just a man, but we do so no longer. Anyone who's in Christ is a new creation. I'm new already, in alignment with what this is saying. Behold, the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So I can literally lay it aside and simply start beholding and remembering I am righteous. As Christ is, so am I in this world. And start to strengthen that and rebuild that and allow the Spirit to convict us of our righteousness over and over again, as we've been talking about the last couple weeks. So we'll keep moving, or this last week and now tie it in here. So and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. I love it. Literally, just as easy as it was for me to put on my shirt this morning and pants and socks and shoes and whatever, I can just put on the new self in holiness and truth. Therefore, laying aside all falsehood, this is where we were headed. All that was context. And this is therefore. I love how Joseph Prince highlights that whenever Scripture says therefore, it's saying this is here for a reason. All that was setting up. So therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. And then goes on to say, be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let sun go down on your anger. So back to awareness and feeling an emotion that doesn't feel good and that isn't in alignment with our true character. Here, instead of what you've been taught by the world, it's not saying to stop that. It's sin. The sin wasn't the anger. Read it. See what it says? It doesn't say, be angry and yet do not sin. The anger wasn't the sin he's referring to. So what is it? We'll get to it in a moment. But he's saying, be honest one with another. Hi, how are you? Great. Praise Jesus. A little bit of callous. Awesome. God is good. Now, again, this could be taken out of context like the scale measurement was last week. You know what? There's nothing wrong with being positive. There is something to the fake it till you make it, to go from a 3 to a 5 before you start to contemplate. So if you know you're still, you can confess truth. I am righteous. I don't feel righteous right now, but I am. But at least admit I don't feel it. And so it says, be honest with one another, but also get angry or get depressed. If you think you're depressed, don't pretend you're not. Feel it and go, I feel depressed. What is this? This isn't his best. I feel greed. Why am I coveting the one you brought up? This is the one I have to get in touch with. I see somebody nail it in an area that I aspire to, and there's something that rises up that goes, as if there's not enough to go around. As if their gain is my loss. A little bit of covetousness, a little bit of greed. I'm telling you, I'm not pretending. I'm telling you, I have greed. It comes up like as recent as yesterday. So it's fresh. I'm not talking, I used to, but then I found Jesus. And okay. But as was said earlier, I am a 10 as he is. Does he have greed in his heart? Does he have that thing that is less than God's best? No. And as he is in this world, not when I get to the sweet by and by, in this world, then I'm not made with greed in me either. But old man habits and the lofty speculations and lie of the enemy, the second there's something that I was made to aspire to by God, and there's evidence of it in the world, the enemy quickly knows he can use that and throw out a little lie that says, that should have been you. Or if only you had worked harder, you'd have that now. Or if only you had been born to the parents they had, then you, whatever little lies and distortions. And if I go, no, and hide it, instead of saying, wait a minute, I don't like this feeling. On a scale of 1 to 10, where am I right now? I'm at a 3. I'm not meant to be at a 3. I'm a 10. I don't feel like a 10. So how long should I carry it? What's the significance of saying, don't let the sun go down on your anger? I would suggest to you the significance is, feel it. But you're not supposed to feel it more than a day. If you hide it, it'll stay with you for decades. But feel it. Get it out. Get with a brother. Confess it so that you may be well, it says in 1 John 1:9. It doesn't say you need to confess your sin. But it says you want to be well. Get it out. Get with someone you can trust. The one you can trust the most is him, the Holy Spirit. You don't need to get with another. But sometimes we are meant to be in relationship, and we don't. We in our, this conversation, there's other lies flying around. So get with somebody and be totally un-Christian. I don't mean Christ follower, but be totally un whatever the world has taught you to think. When you find yourself trying to say it in a way that will be admirable to your brother, when you try to package it in a way that doesn't look as bad as it feels, stop. Just get with someone you can be raw and real and say things that as you hear them, you hear how disgusting they sound, but you say them anyway. Because then they die. They come into the light. And instead, you don't sin. So it says, be angry and yet do not sin. What is the sin it's referring to? I'll answer that after. I'll finish this and then we'll go. What is the, don't forget it, we want to know. The sin, and we will visit this again in greater depth. It may challenge some of you, but sin in the New Testament. You know, so often there would be, even with Christ, he would say, go and sin no more after he would heal someone. It was pre-cross, but still, they were in his presence. Regardless, the point here is the sin that he's saying, it's not when he says, do not let the sun go down in your anger. Be angry and yet do not sin. When I look to self-righteousness, then I am in sin. Missing the mark is the definition of sin. So the crooked finger says, when you get angry, you're missing the mark. It didn't say that. It said, when I let anger cause me to choose to be in control and take what Christ did on the cross and make it of no effect, now I've entered into a full-on act of sin. There's a place in Scripture, I don't remember where it is, that says, if you know something to be wrong and do it anyway, that is sin. Heir to the good. Heir to, you're in control. I don't know if every thought I have, I don't want to focus on sin. Elevate sin and sin abounds. I want to focus on his grace. So the focus here is just, I feel something that isn't in alignment with your truth. I'm going to admit it to you and the world and get it out. And I'm not going to let it carry for a day, more than a day. And allow you and your goodness and you, Spirit, that is a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path, to get me back on the path and work all things together for my good of whatever it was that was going on, so that we can continue in intimacy and I can continue to move from glory to glory, seeing me in you, perfect and whole and complete. So you had a question or comment?
Sometimes it's difficult to be transparent, mainly because we do not want our brethren to falter by what we say or what we do. So therein lies the difficulty, knowing when, how. So if you're not feeling great and someone asks, how are you? You say, blessed. Because, you know, you're always blessed.
True.
But you don't want to vomit on them with all that's going on. So here again, it's where we have to find that acceptable medium.
And two things come to mind. Thank you. First of all, I have to say, you command a mic. Well, when you grabbed it, I had this beautiful vision. You paused and you held it. And I was just waiting. I thought in my mind, I had this... No, I did. This is what went in my mind. I was about expecting to hear, Roxanne! I was waiting for it. I was like, go, it'd be awesome. Anyway, the two things come to mind. First of all, not everyone is in your inner circle. Jesus walked with the disciples. They had conversations with him that the rest of the 5,000 on the hillside didn't have. Right? You understand? Those who walked with Paul and traveled with Paul, there's a different circle. A, I don't know that I can trust every single person to share, and vice versa. They don't deserve me dumping on them. There's an aspect, that's one thing that comes to mind. The other thing is the beauty of what we're saying yes to here is that we're choosing to be led by the Spirit. And the Spirit will let us know. It may be a stranger that one time the Spirit goes, I don't know why you're telling me this, but listen, I just need to let you know. You asked how I am. We don't know each other. Normally I would say I'm great or I'm blessed. I just feel like someone needs to know. For the moment, I'm aching, I'm hurting. Spirit might lead you to do that one day. But in general, completely agree, and there is a sensitivity. Hold on. Just because for the tape.
Okay. Okay. All right, so yes, I totally agree. And I'll put an and in there. So I learned something years ago, if I'm able to share this right now. So a bullseye. Right? Like a bow and arrow, bullseye, whatever you call it. In the center, the people that are closest to you. And then the next ring out is the next group of people that are closer to you, you know, close to you, and then so on and so forth. So a lot of the people at church or whatever, out and about during the week, and they ask you, I would respond to them, doing super, how are you? Or when the cash register girl asks me, how's your day going? I say, so far, so good. Right? Because I don't want to just always be so Pollyanna or whatever. But I think the point from the word is confess one to another, your brethren, your brother.
Neighbor, it says, or brother.
Or
exactly.
Your neighbor. Yep. Is I feel close enough with you that if you ask me and I feel like total garbage, I'm not going to say I'm blessed because I trust you. I want to be intimate enough with you and I want you to hold me accountable and vice versa, hopefully, that if I'm thinking the wrong way, I want you to tell me. I need my brother to be honest with me by saying, and I think we've grown up in a culture where we're so used to saying those things to everybody, even the people that are closest to us. And the enemy wants that because it robs us of the truth. So I think we have to look at it from a perspective of who's the closest to us, who's the next closest, and so on and so forth, so that we don't fall into that kind of stuff all the time.
And I would add, for the sake of this journey that we take here, I feel led through witness. So just giving witness by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, we defeat the enemy even unto death. I would like to give witness that there have been areas like this one where it was okay, and the Spirit said, it's okay for you to overuse this for a season because the ties that the habitual ties you have to lies for safety are strong enough that let's break them all the way. So be raw and real. So for a season, it might be you tell everyone. You're too true and you crush some people. God's got them. I'm not saying this is for you. I'm saying the Spirit, though, may tell you, you know what? I'm too habitual about just going, I'm great when I'm not. This isn't to dwell on our feelings, by the way. It's just to be aware that perhaps I have layers of calluses in a certain area of my heart. So take it with a grain of salt. All it is just being aware of the invitation. Yes, and this one's got to be, because we got to wrap up time-wise. You got a minute.
I agree that you have to be aware of the people that you share with, but I think the bigger thing is condemnation, because if you're sharing with somebody, you're being vulnerable, and we've all been hurt in the past by people. You're scared of being hurt if you reveal something, whether it's you've got a secret life, a secret sin, whatever is secret that the enemy has tied that stronghold. Yes. If you share it, it gets into the light, but the enemy says, now they're going to judge you.
Right. Well, and let's not take the scripture out of context either, because what's happened, and it happens just like with the measurement of the scale of 1 to 10 or whatever, we visit something and then our mind starts to race in possibilities from a healthy perspective, and also the enemy starts to go, have us overuse something, and then imagine how that wrong that is. All it said was, therefore, laying aside falsehoods, speak truth to one another, you with your neighbor. So I agree. Walking up to someone who's not necessarily my neighbor that I'm in direct community with is different. So I think it was covered well. We will, in the interest of time from there, we will look at now finding ourselves in that 3 verses and 8. What are some things that strategies and, I don't even want to say strategies, what are some ways that we can take captive and renew our mind so that we then are shifting and finding ourselves rocking? Because when people ask me to close now, often, if I do feel to be more open but not all the way open, I'll simply say, you know what? I got 2 lists. There's a bunch of amazing stuff and there's some crappy stuff. But fortunately, I'm up and to the right. It's net, you know, it's... So, how you doing? Great. In some areas, amazing. A few areas, crappy, but altogether doing well. That way, I'm being true to myself. I know that's accurate. So, anyway, Daddy, you're amazing. Thank you that we are right with you. We walk as a 10. We see ourselves in your reflection. We just thank you for that truth. You're awesome, God. Amen.